No one can argue that it appears that spring is here and summer is fast approaching. Well, maybe except for the temperatures that are supposed to get down into the mid-30s tonight and for the next couple nights, possibly. But for the most part, the days have been nice and warm. The warm weather and the sunshine have been getting people out of their houses and into their yards and their gardens, cleaning up after the dismal days of winter. Some people are even mowing their grass. The streets have been filled with people walking, old couples on their leisurely strolls, runners dressed in their spandex, checking their watches and their times, dog walkers with their little baggies, and others with their earbuds and their iPods, listening to music and their podcasts to pass the time. Very few people walk anywhere now because they have to. Now, at least in our context, most people walk to get the exercise they used to get by working or by necessity, as we no longer travel by foot as the two disciples are doing in our gospel reading for today. It is late Sunday afternoon on the first Easter Sunday, and the two of Jesus' disciples are walking home to Emmaus from Jerusalem. According to some scholars, the Sunday after Passover is when many people return to their homes. Of course, they couldn't help but discuss all the things that had happened in Jerusalem this past week, about how Jesus had been put on trial, false witnesses and all, the sham that it was. Convicted, he was sentenced to death, death on a cross. Convicted, as much as a sham that it was, the disciples, they ran. The inner 12 had all but abandoned him, denying him. The Jewish leaders, the people, the soldiers had really made a mockery of him. The soldiers beat him, spit on him, dressed him up like some fake king, pretended to worship him only to beat him again. They made Jesus carry his own cross to Golgotha, the hill outside the city. And there they crucified him. There he died. Died along with the hopes and dreams of the people, hopes and dreams of a new kingdom. He had been the answer to overthrow the Roman oppressors. But alas, no longer. There had even been some reports from the women that the tomb was empty, that they had seen angels, that Jesus was alive. But they themselves, the two walking on the road, they hadn't seen him. About that time, Jesus draws near to them. Verse 16 in the Gospel says that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. This is an important detail that we must not brush over. In verse 18, we learn that one of the men's names is Cleopas. Early church historian Eusebius tells us that Cleopas happens to be the brother of Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, making him Jesus' uncle. Surely he would have recognized Jesus right away, especially in a culture that was centered around the family unit. But Jesus has other plans for revealing his true identity, setting the stage for the revelation that was to come when Jesus would open their eyes. Christ asked the two what they are talking about as they walk along the road. Of course, they couldn't believe that this person hadn't heard about the events of the last days. So with broken hearts and shattered dreams, they recount for him the events of the last week, what they had just been discussing as they traveled home. And at this point, then Jesus interjects, "O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" He then takes them through the scriptures, interpreting them for them, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, the things concerning himself. I find an interesting connection here with the book of Acts and the early church. The apostles in the early church were heavily persecuted in the years following Jesus' death. This fledgling movement that was given the slang term Christian was rapidly gaining ground, and the Jewish authorities were afraid of losing their positions of power and influence over the people. So they did anything to keep the movement from growing, including imprisonment and even death. What they didn't realize was this persecution actually resulted in and spurred on the growth, causing many Christians to move from Jerusalem to the other areas. Another result of their persecution was beautiful sermons recorded in the book of Acts, given by Peter, by Stephen, by Paul. Several of these sermons had a common theme, the same theme as in our gospel reading for today. The sermon by Peter in Acts chapters 2 and 3, by Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and by Paul in Acts chapter 13, all laid the same foundation that Jesus laid today for the disciples on the road to Emmaus. How all the Old Testament points to Christ as the fulfillment of the Scriptures. This is one of our fundamental doctrines today, that the whole of the Old Testament points to Christ. Now, getting back to our narrative, Jesus intends to part ways with the two men, but they convince him to spend the night at their home, as it is getting pretty late. At the supper table, Jesus takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. Immediately, their eyes are open and he disappears from their sight. They recognize that this stranger, who seemed to know nothing of this past week's events, was none other than Jesus himself. The very one who was crucified, the one their hopes and dreams were focused on, was now alive and in their midst. Yet when their eyes are opened, when they actually see that it is he who is with them, he disappears. How exhilarating it must have been. How exciting. Yet I wonder if it wasn't just a little bit disappointing at the same time. Jesus was there. He has risen from the dead. There were so many questions for them to ask. Had they known who he was just a little bit earlier? Yet the Lord hid himself from these men so that he could reveal himself when and where he chose to. Jesus continues to work in this way today. He chooses to reveal himself through the Scriptures. It is the Scriptures that testify to him. By opening up the Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament, he is preached as the fulfillment of those Scriptures, as the very Son of God, who is handed over to sinful men, crucified and resurrected for us. The redemption that these Emmaus disciples had hoped for had indeed taken place. But it was far greater than what they could ever had hoped for. Redemption had taken place, but not in some act to overthrow their Roman oppressors. It had happened in the death of God's own Son, who paid the price for their and our release from the real oppressor, from sin, from death, from the devil, not with silver and gold, but with God's own Son's precious blood. That is what was necessary. Verse 26 says, "It was necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory." It was necessary for you. It was necessary for our salvation. It has been done. The work is completed for you. It is finished. Words from the cross. Our eyes are open to see that Christ was put to death for our trespasses and raised again for our justification. And Jesus not only reveals himself in his word, but also in the sacraments, as shown in the narrative of the breaking of the bread. Christ reveals himself to us in Holy Communion when we partake of the body and blood in, with, and under the bread and the wine. And it is in this that he forgives our sins, strengthens our faith, and which gives us life and salvation. All this we do in remembrance of him frequently, reverently, and joyfully to the glory of his holy name. Christ also reveals himself to us in his baptism, where he unites us to himself through the water and the word, creating faith in our hearts, forgiving our sins, rescuing us from death and the devil, giving us eternal life. The Holy Spirit works through these means, word and sacrament, to reveal Jesus to us, creating faith, keeping us in the faith, to life everlasting. Wouldn't it have been nice to walk with Jesus just like the Emmaus disciples did? But this time, knowing who he was beforehand, what would you like to ask him? What would you talk about? On these nice spring days, think of the conversations that you would have. The walks would go on for miles. We may not see him now, but we still hear him. He has gone away for a time so that we may learn to hear him, to trust in him. For faith comes not by sight, but by hearing. Paul writes in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We hear him now as he speaks to us through the preaching of the word. His words are both spirit and life. We hear him in his word of absolution as he declares, your sins are forgiven. We hear him not at an ordinary supper table like at that house in Emmaus, but at his holy supper where he gives you his body to eat and his blood to drink. And as you go out on your daily walks, take Jesus with you in your conversation with your walking partner, or on your iPhone or your iPad or your iPod, with your favorite audio Bible or your favorite Christian podcast like Issues, etc., or by listening to your favorite Christian music, or have a one-on-one conversation with him in prayer. Whatever way you choose, take a walk with Jesus to the glory of his holy name. Amen.